Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and Mrs. Fucking Brown Sugar. We would love to hear from you. So please give us a call at 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you're afraid to call, you can always email us questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. We social network wherever you find Smooth Drama. Add us, we'll add you back. Also on social media, if you're on that social media conglomerate called Facebook, ask to get into the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. J will add you. That's what happens. All right. Also, after the show, we go to the Smooth Drama site, www.smoothdrama.com, and we chop it up a little bit. If you're so inclined to do so with us, we would greatly appreciate talking to you for a few minutes after the show. Tis at your pleasure, at your leisure. We just want to be service to the people. That's our credo, right?
Yeah.
That's our credo.
I would say that, yeah.
Speaking of being a servant to the people, mm-hmm. Erykah Badu, okay. She out here with it. So she is, if you ain't heard, she's selling incense that smells like her vagina. And I'm going to use her words. There's an urban legend that my pussy changes men. So, what she said was, in revealing how she did it, I took pairs of my panties, cut them up into little pieces, and burned them. Even the ash is part of it. The people deserve it. So, yeah.
The people deserve it. I don't know. I don't know how women. What is that going? If it changes men, what is it going to do to women?
I don't know. I mean.
And my thing is, how does it change men? Because she can't keep one. Or I don't know. It could be a choice. She may choose not to keep one, but she can't keep one.
Yeah. I think that might have more to do with the fact that you're a traveling artist who is always on the go, and you don't have time to...
Yeah, you don't have time to cultivate your relationships. But with a statement like that, though, it changes men. You would have to, like, into what?
Well, supposedly, when she got with dudes, they supposedly turned more conscious. Now, for some people, that's a horrible proposition, right? Because, you know... Kicking knowledge.
Yeah, they don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, ain't that what they say? Oh, you trying to kick knowledge? You trying to kick knowledge? That's the scene before you kill somebody because they won't talk smart. So that's the other urban myth out there, right? Kicking knowledge is horrible.
Yeah.
Black folks.
I wouldn't say that's an urban myth.
Yeah.
I think for some of us it is.
Yeah, but I'm saying though. That's really dumb.
Oh, I'm not saying it's smart. I mean, I'm just saying, I think for some of us, you know, it's not welcomed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, getting back on track, incense that smells like pussy.
You know, I'm the curious type. So, I probably won't buy, you know, sometimes they come in threes or six. or a dozen. I probably wouldn't buy a dozen or even three, but I would have to. I'm just curious, like, how does one? I could see, like, when you do a flower and you grind up the flower and you, you know, you do whatever it is you do to it. How do you do that with vagina, though? Do you take samples of, like, you know, because women, we know we have gynecologist appointments and, you know, they take cotton swabs and samples and, you know, to test.
She said she took lots of pairs of her panties. I guess at the end of the day, maybe you play with yourself.
But with the cotton and the soap that's already in, you know, after you've washed your underwear and you put them on again.
But what we're talking about here is, so let's just say that she does what she does,
mm-hmm.
and it's absorbed in the cotton,
yeah.
whatnot. And so then, as she said, she cut it up into pieces, burned it, and it's part of the ash, too. So that's the whole incense.
I see, but I'm just like, how are you, like, you're getting all these, it's just like additives and preservatives. Like, I would prefer my stuff to be fresh. You know what I mean? With not all this extra stuff to, like, bind it together.
So here's the other part of that solution, right? So let's just say if we're going to do it and we're going to go green like motherfucking brown sugar, what, is she going to squat over?
I don't know.
She's
that's
gonna
what I'm
curious.
She's going
to squat over the ingredients and until some stuff fall down.
But see, that's the thing. Like, that does not happen. Stuff does not fall out of vaginas like that. I mean, your juices just don't fall out.
Well, if you're a squirter, it does. Right?
Yeah, but then, I don't know. It just seems really complicated.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, and what does that smell like? Like, what is that smell? Every person isn't going to, and I mean, this is true to anything, any smell, but every person isn't going to, like, relate or like your smell.
Well,
so,
I'm thinking she's only going to sell it to the people.
Well, I mean, she's going to sell it to everyone, but it just, I don't know, I just seem so, like, I don't know, it's just out there. I love me some Badoo, but, you know.
All right, well, I think we have a caller.
She might have lost me on this one.
All right, caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. Who are we talking to? Where are you from? And what can we do you for?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My name's Mike, I'm from Minneapolis. And I was wondering, do you guys talk about politics a little, or you just stay on like pop culture stuff?
Well, actually, right now we was talking about Erykah Badu and her new incense, but We talk about politics and pretty much anything that is going on in the world.
I was going to ask you about the acquittal in the Senate with the president, and then I was going to ask if you saw the State of the Union address.
No. All right. Well, and where are you calling from, brother?
Calling from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Okay. All right. Well, basically what I saw from the State of the Union, and it first his acquittal, we'll talk there. The acquittal, we kind of knew that was going to happen. It's voted by party lines. So they needed 4 Republicans to cross over. They got 2. Simple math. Kind of knew he was going to get acquitted. It wasn't even a debate for me. 2, State of the Union. It's the usual BS, and I believe he went radical. Well, not radical, but normal white nationalist. Hey, we came to this country. We made this country great. I mean, that's been his Greek credo from the start. We tamed it, and we made it a place that you can be proud of, whereas the people who were here before, they were just tearing it up. That's kind of what the gist of his speech was, right?
Did you watch the speech?
I watched some of it. I can't do a whole hour of them dudes. You know, you see.
Yeah, his
stuff.
Speech wasn't like that at all. I don't know how you got that impression. I mean, I went into it with an open mind, and he was actually talking a lot about like black issues, and he talked about all the things to focus on how to improve things within the black community. And he actually put a lot of emphasis on that. I don't know if you saw CNN afterwards, but even CNN was like pretty surprised. They were like, Van Jones was talking about how he's like, you know, Trump is actually doing 3, 4, 5 different things that like really positively impact the black community in a way that the Democrats can't really say now. And he talked about like how he invested a lot more money in the HBCUs, the historically black colleges. He was talking about criminal justice reform. He was talking about school choice and how that could, you know, positively impact especially black kids in bad inner city public schools. And he talked about the black unemployment rate. And then he was talking about opportunities for investment within, specifically within black businesses in inner cities. And so I was just wondering because I was surprised by that, like how much he talked about that. Like that was like a good 15-20 minutes. He just focused on that in his speech. And it just kind of, I just want to get people's reaction to that because I was kind of surprised myself.
Well, that once again, that would be what I would call pandering for the vote. I mean, because there is talking about it, but what are your actions? I mean, so
my point. Like the stuff he was talking about, the stuff that he's actually done. It wasn't like pandering would be like if you were to go to a group of people and say, we want to do this, this, and this. If you vote for me, he was talking about what he already did. The only thing he was left that he mentioned that he hasn't done that they're trying to do was school choice. Other than that, all the other stuff he talked about, like he's already passed criminal justice reform. He already passed in his budget to send money to the black colleges. He already passed a bill for opportunity zones to invest in black businesses.
Okay.
So like a lot of the stuff he mentioned, he actually already did.
Right.
That's what I was surprised by.
All right, so I will throw this caveat out there. So we're talking about historical black colleges who now accept non-historically black people. First, second.
We're talking about him sending them money, which is what they
yeah.
needed because a lot of them were closing up. They didn't have any money left.
Okay. So what we're talking about here
you don't
I'm
think that's a good thing?
You,
like you're saying that it seems like you kind of don't think that's a good thing. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that it was a horrible thing. But these institutions are not what they were when they were first instituted. And no, it does matter. I mean, but are we are we making this?
Are you trying to like spin
like
this into like a bad thing? Like that? Like it doesn't matter
no,
that he did that?
No. I did not say that. You said that. I'm saying.
I mean, I'm just. It seems to imply the way you're sounding. Like you're trying to. It's weird. Like how would that be a bad thing if he gave money to HBCUs? Like
who
I don't see how any way you can make that negative.
No,
you just try to make it seem like these institutions aren't the same as before. So maybe it doesn't matter. You know,
it's not that it doesn't matter, but wouldn't you think he would have to do more than just give money to HBCUs in order to win the African American vote? I mean, that's a great thing.
I didn't think Trump would pass a criminal justice reform bill. Did you think he would do that?
I mean, he's. You know, I think that's what he was saying was talking about pandering. So I'll do X, Y, and Z to get what I need to get where I need to get to. So if I need to pass this bill to get the black vote, then that's what I'm going to do. I mean, he's already shown that he's ready to do whatever to be president for 4 more years. So I'm not saying what he's doing is bad, but I don't trust what he's doing, no. If that's what you're implying, is he trustworthy? No.
And let's be clear. let us be clear, and I'll have to let you go after this, brother. And I thank you for your call. I am not a Democrat or a Republican. I hold people to the fire by their actions historically, because I mean, quite frankly, the Democratic Party during slavery, they was the slaveholding party. And the Republicans were the party that were for the people. So I understand that it's just names. And once again, yes, he passed the bill. I'm glad. I'm as many people can go to college and get a great education and further themselves and better themselves, I'm all for it. I'm just not going to give people who, quite frankly, don't do things that are in our best interest just out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, because I think that we can maybe agree that he's not a historical lover of black people.
I don't think that matters necessarily. I care more about the action. Like, to say does he or does he not, that's reading somebody's mind. Whereas when Obama, right? Obama was supposed to represent the black community. So he paid lip service when he got in. Who did he
cater
to?
Obama was a politician.
The homosexual community and the Mexican community. He put them ahead. And if you look at the track record, I mean, it's undeniable. Like, were you happy with what Obama did?
You've never listened to my show because I have never been happy with what Obama did. I'm one of those people. He never did anything that I would consider that was beneficial to me
right.
and mine. So,
and he got in, and let's be real, he got in because of the black vote. Because the black vote was such a huge turnout, was the only reason he got in office. And he did nothing. Whereas with Trump, black people didn't vote for Trump. Trump has no reason to even pander to the black vote because he'll be lucky to even get 10% if he's lucky.
Right?
So you have a guy who didn't need the black vote, who looks like he's actually trying to do something. But the guy who got the black vote screwed us over. You don't see that.
All right. So first, I'm gonna say thank you for your call. I appreciate your commitment and your.
I'm just saying, brother. It's logic, okay? I understand you don't like the guy, but you got to put emotion aside. You got to look at the logic. Look at the logic.
Yeah,
of the argument
there's
tell
no,
me where
there's
where it doesn't hold up.
Here. I'm just saying
you haven't made one logical point.
We need to go on a break. So we're going to go on break, all right? And we'll get back into what you're talking about. All right. So this is a Sky Zoo, Black Sambo.
How they said a little Black Sambo can never fit a crown. Mama said, now that you got it, don't ever put it down. Mama, I swear, I never put it down. They gon' have to kill me first before it ever hit the ground. And if it ever hit the ground, bet that I'm next to it or protecting me around. The only way I could ever be beheaded from the crown, they wanted me to ignore. Cause they said that I'm next to a door where a lord just heavenly is a sound. With the blood that you want, can never sit off the ground. And you walk to the car, speculating on how you could want what you want, but never get to surmount what you saw. Tell them what you saw, telling them you was willing to pedal to the front. And being in front of put you ahead of who belongs. So you leaking up under who you can never prove wrong. You'll never prove them wrong, right? But how they said a little Black Sambo can never fit a crown. And mama said, now that you got it, don't ever put it down. Mama, I swear, I'll never put it down. They gon' have to kill me first before it ever hit the ground. They said I'm Black Sambo, right fake hoodie by the lamppost. Umbrella up that I can't close. You can try to corner me, but I can't fold. Black Sambo, Sambo. Bright big hoodie by the lamppost. Hands in the air, but my hands closed. My instinct, if you stand close, I close. Close enough where name could fully be recited. If I'm ever on a stage with a judge residing over everything that changed, what's well was replying to an image that was saved of looking to creep by him with a desi on a waist of wanting to speak by him. While you stepping out the way, you take up the seat by him. And he gets on why you came. He thinks that he seemed fine, but he left it on his face. And his face, same one he giving you now. Remember you close enough where you could tangle him out. You know that you low enough to know what limits allow. So believe him to open up and close your memory child. Like such, like duck. All eyes like the coke price cut. Whole time at a throw a slight rush. All eyes like loading up the pump, and you'll never prove them wrong, right? How they said a little Black Sambo can never fit a crown. Mama said, now that you got it, don't ever put it down. Mama, I swear I'll never put it down. They gon' have to kill me first before it ever hit the ground. They said I'm Black Sambo, bright fake hoodie by the lamppost. Umbrella up that I can't close. You try to corner me, but I can't fold. Black Sambo, Sambo, bright fake hoodie by the lamppost. Hands in the air, but my hands closed. My instinct, if you stand close, I close. Too close for a loophole to be the reason why you go to the hole where the loop froze, and then it repeats, and then you hoping that the loop broke, and the truth go stretched out like my new bow. They press y'all like suit clothes, and them suit clothes couldn't save you from the type of cereal that they willing to shoot for. And the loophole turned blacker than the light that they had you under when they handed you a mic, and they asked you whether you was acting out of fright when they asked you if you was out traffic in the night. Then they asked you what an automatic out of right Facebook live panorama with your life, and that view goes from the camera to the light till they tell son that he had it right. Never prove him wrong, right? How they said a little Black Sambo could never fit a crown. Mama said now that you got it, don't ever put it down. Mama, I swear I'll never put it down. See, they gon' have to kill me first before it ever hit the ground. They said I'm Black Sambo, bright bait hoodie by the lamppost. Umbrella up that I can't close. Try to corner me, but I can't fold. Black Sambo, Sambo, bright big hoodie by the lamppost. Hands in the air, but my hands closed. It's my instinct if you stand close, right? They said I'm Black Sambo, bright big hoodie by the lamppost. Umbrella up that I can't close. Try to corner me, but I can't fold. Black Sambo, Sambo, bright big hoodie by the lamppost. Hands in the air, but my hands closed. It's my instinct if you stand close. Huh?
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and motherfucking Brown Sugar. That was Guys New, Black Sambo. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. 347-826-7435. Now, before we go back into what we were talking about, I want to address what the brother said. And he's talking about Donald Trump passing bills, and Donald Trump talking about what he should do, what he's going to do for the Black community, and all the stuff that I swear, I said this about Obama and any other president. I am always amazed, though, that we will argue really, really hard for white people and talk about what they are doing and what they've done, which is what they should be doing any goddamn way, right?
I agree.
Because once again, historical Black colleges, they existed because we couldn't go to the historical white colleges.
Or white colleges, period.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes. Historical white colleges. Okay. We could not go to those colleges.
No, we could not.
And so them funding them schools that were made necessary be because they wouldn't let us go to their schools in the first place. Mm-hmm. They would not exist if they were being fair. And once again, talking about and hyping up a president for doing what he's supposed to do at the bare minimum. Yes, we are citizens in this here United States of America, and we pay taxes and all this other stuff. So technically speaking, he just spending money that we already put in. Yay.
I don't know.
And so, we don't talk about him putting Ben Carson, a brain surgeon, a very talented brain surgeon, mm-hmm. in charge of housing. Mm-hmm. He has no clue. We don't talk about incompetency and him doing things that aren't beneficial by putting people in who are yes men that are supposed to help us. Yes, he passed the bill. Good for him. You know what? At the end of the day, he's a horrible president. But he's not even in my top 20 of worst presidents. That's what's funny. As once again, if you listen to my show, you know, I say all the founding fathers, the top 25, all of them ain't shit to me. they're worse. I put Donald Trump in the upper echelon of president, because at least he said what he want to do. I'm going to make business deals, and I'm going to do whatever I can. As motherfucking Brown Sugar said, what's best for him? That's what he do, right?
Yeah, what's best for him.
That's what he do.
Yeah. He became president to benefit himself.
Exactly. He has been of great benefit to himself. I mean,
it has nothing to do with you. If you think as an American citizen he became president to serve you, you are sadly mistaken.
He's serving you a bill.
True.
Hey, he's doing that conference where he's going to get paid at his estate.
Oh.
Yeah. That's him. He going to get paid. So he double billing. He billing you and I. Because that's part of that taxes that come out of our check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working.
The state and the federal.
Yeah, that especially the federal. Because I believe that conference is in Florida. So they don't have state tax.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, they tax the food, which is a state tax.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you eat, unless you drive down South Carolina, buy your food, drive back into Florida. But that's a whole other dumb argument. Point is, double dipping. Federal taxes. I got to find my taxes. I'm sitting up here talking about this stuff.
You have time.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, this is a dude, and so you want to talk about what he did. He gave Rush Limbaugh, he gave him the Medal of Freedom. Who Rush Limbaugh free?
I have no idea.
Did he break into one of these slavery rings and save some little girls?
I don't
girls?
Even think he's, was has he even served? Did he even no. begin the
no.
service?
No.
Okay.
Well, no. Yeah, he gave... he gave him the Medal of Freedom because he got cancer. I mean that's all you gotta do to get a Medal of Freedom is to be in cancer.
I mean, I guess because of freedom of speech, because he speaks freely. Rush Limbaugh does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he speaks freely about us.
Hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a hate monger, but. Yeah, and he had the 100-year-old Tuskegee Airman there, who didn't receive anything. You know, he was present.
No, why would you give something to somebody that actually did something?
I'm just saying.
Ain't this the dude that was talking about McCain, like he was dumb enough to get caught?
Oh yeah, so he's not. And see, that's another thing. Like people don't talk about his
draft dodging.
Yeah, his draft dodging or how. You know, dedicated he is to our servicemen and women, and how
very dedicated,
loyal he is to the American flag.
Loyal,
yeah,
loyal to the military because
yes.
You know, as somebody who served in the military,
mm-hmm.
that's what he would say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I served them by not being in the military,
yeah,
because I would have messed up the war efforts. Maybe I would have shot. I'd have shot somebody accidentally.
On purpose?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. So
I
don't even like talking about the dude, right? Because
yeah.
It's everybody talks about him.
Yeah, and it's kind of redundant after a while. I mean,
right.
He is who he is. He's going to do what he's going to do. And because we weren't smart enough not to put him in office, we have to deal with it. So, I mean,
you know. No, but I love that he's in office.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it since day one. Y'all know it if you listen to me. I've said him being president is one of the greatest things that's happened because it stripped the illusion away.
Yeah, as far as that's concerned, I think he could have not ran and or not been in office and that could have happened. Still.
No. Mm-mm.
Just him running.
No. Mm-mm.
Well, it started when he... started going after Obama.
No.
That's no, it did. It did start. when Obama was president, he went after him. So
yeah, I mean, but they all went after Obama. That's not saying.
But it
anything.
Wasn't like nobody went on like he did because he went on national TV.
Hold on, wait. So you have a redacted memory.
Okay.
I mean, we are talking about the dude that along the side on the freeways in the South, they had pictures of him on the curious billboards.
I'm not saying that nobody went after him. Us as American citizens have a different kind of platform than somebody like as a celebrity like Donald Trump. He actually got airtime on TV to talk about Obama.
Right.
Like, they would interview him to talk. So, I mean.
You setting it up.
Yeah. And that's all I'm saying.
Nobody
has ever been able to do that. Like, go on TV and as a celebrity and talk about a president. And say what an awful person the president is. Or he's a liar. Or he's a, you know.
Well, that's because Obama wasn't killing people. See, so if you talk about George Bush and them, you's going to end up dead. You talk about Clinton, you's going to end up dead. You's going to eat an apple and die indigestion or something like that. That's what happens in the past. Obama, maybe he wait like 10, 15, 20 years before he start offering foods.
Okay, I mean, that's possible.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I guess if he didn't have fear, if nobody had fear in him to not speak against him, then, you know.
Right. Plus, he knew he was running for president.
Yeah.
So, if you know you're running for president, you know, you can come out there and say something. In the meantime, in between time, it's time for Dumbass of the Week. Alright, so our dumbass of the week is a study. There's a study that talks about masculinity in the military, saying that vets may have worse PTSD symptoms if they conform to masculinity traits. I'm like, alright, so 3,500 veterans. And they talked about masculine traits can exacerbate post-traumatic stress disorder that's difficult to treat because, well, you're just too masculine. So.
You know, I was thinking about it. Is it too much testosterone, though? Not necessarily masculinity, but maybe too much testosterone.
No. I would say... And this is why they're the dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
So, females who serve in the military and get shot at, they need psychological help, too.
True.
I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not you have more testosterone than anybody else. War shake your ass.
I agree. I mean...
Being shot at.
Yeah,
shakes your ass.
Even if you're not in war and you're being shot at.
Right.
I don't think I need to go to war. I think
you're on edge every day.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if we're driving somewhere and these fools going to blow up.
Yeah. If you're in one of those mines or it's an ambush. Or if you're in a chopper, if that goes down, somebody comes with a bomb. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying.
That's what we talking about.
Yeah.
But they're saying, hey, if you conform to masculine traits, it's gonna be messed up for you. Well, I don't think the people who are shooting at you are like, you know what? They look masculine. We should shoot at them more. I don't know.
I don't. So what are they saying? So you should be more feminine after you get out of the war. You should be more feminine while you're in the war.
No, I guess apparently
what are they saying?
The symptoms afterwards, they're saying that military personnel report high levels of conformity to traditional masculine norms, such as emotional control, self-reliance, and importance of one's job. Now, I would say, well... I don't think that's necessarily a masculine trait. I mean, because a lot of people try to have emotional control and self-reliance. It's kind of being an adult.
I don't know. I'm confused.
Ain't that, aren't adults self-reliant?
Yeah, you're supposed to have all those things, okay, but I'm confused about the study. I'm not understanding what they're saying. If they're saying...
Elizabeth Nielsen of Moorhead University.
Okay, she needs to...
Yeah.
Talk about it maybe in more layman's terms for me. I think study might be over my head. I don't know.
Well, I know it's over mine. Because
I'm confused.
You're
like,
tell me. Like, it matters that I'm masculine or not masculine. You get shaken by being people trying to kill you all day, every day.
I thought that's what post-traumatic stress disorder was originally about. Because of all the gunfire and the uncertainty of your life, and
I
didn't think it had to do with whether you were male or female or masculine or feminine.
No,
I didn't.
No, I think the enemy sees your uniform. Yeah. They don't really care whether you got a vagina or a penis.
No,
they're trying to shoot it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, or shoot you in it.
Yeah.
Afterwards. All right, so everybody's been out there about Gayle King and the Kobe Bryant issue. I looked at it differently. A lot of people are like, Gayle King, she messed up. It's not Kobe. No! But... it was more, there's a totality of an interview that her network did not show. They cut to a certain section and made it look like she was attacking Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, his character, yeah.
And so she had to come out and do a whole video talking about, hey, there's a whole
interview.
If you listen to it in its totality, you would see that I was just talking about everything. And, I mean, because she said, I asked Lisa Leslie, his friend, what she thought about those allegations. And she said, no, that's not him. He wouldn't have done that. And that was kind of it.
Okay, so then where did that end part come when she said, but you wouldn't have saw it? You're his friend. Being his friend, you wouldn't have saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't understand. That's kind of condescending, for one. So because I'm his friend, I'm going to allow him to be disrespectful. I'm going to allow him to abuse. That was what it sounded like in the interview. I'm going to allow you to be this horrible person because I'm your friend. Or I'm just going to look the other way. I'm not going to notice. I'm going to be blinded by our friendship. When she had already said, Lisa Leslie had already said, I've never seen him in that capacity. I've never seen him to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. He's always been a gentleman, and we've been out. He's never had me be the girl to go get the women for him. And Gayle King turns around and says, but you wouldn't have seen it.
Exactly.
You're his friend.
Right. You wouldn't have.
Why not? If I'm your friend, I might see it better than anybody else.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why
not? So because people are different with different people.
I agree, but so that's saying something about her judgment, Lisa Leslie's judgment, and her character.
Not.
Why not?
Okay. So everybody has different personalities. Everybody has different things, quirks that they have, and so things that you can share with one person or a group of individuals, maybe you do not share with other people in other groups of individuals, right? So, in that vein, when you start talking about Kobe Bryant and you start talking about what he may or may not have done, look, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he made a mistake
in that situation.
In that situation.
Yeah.
As a friend, you probably wouldn't have seen him doing it. We've all made mistakes. And so somebody can say, oh, no, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see them doing it because obviously he's not going to do it with you. And it was a thing that just happened.
And but see, that's what Lisa, she made it personal. She said, I've never seen him be
right.
aggressive. So Gail turns it into making it seem like, oh, you're oblivious to what he may have done. So you may have seen it. You may have participated in it.
Yeah. That ain't what I took from it.
That's not what you took from it.
Nope.
Okay, so you didn't listen to her voice tone then?
No, I listened.
Because to me, for one, it was disrespectful. Because for one, she didn't have to bring it up. Nobody's brought up anything that has to do with Kobe and what happened, however, 10, 15 years ago with that situation.
Yeah, they have.
But it hasn't been. I mean, they brought it up and then it was over. And then somebody didn't talk about it again for another 5 years. The man has passed away. And
right.
He's passed away horribly.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me this is how, you know, and if you're his friend, if you know him, Gail, because she went on video and said, I've hung around Kobe. I've never seen, he's always been a gentleman to me. So then why even ask the question to Lisa? How do you feel as a woman, as a WNBA player? Because now you're making it personal.
Well, I think what she was doing was saying there's a totality of a human being. And I'm not defending her. I'm not saying she was right. Because, she probably shouldn't have answered the question. But she was, quote unquote, being integral in her journalistic.
Okay, you have all this integrity. Interview Harvey Weinstein. Interview Kevin Spacey. Interview all those other men that you know that you've rubbed elbows with. Interview them.
I don't think that they're going to agree to be interviewed.
But I'm just, that possibly, well, interview somebody that knows them, that's willing to come and talk about them, how they've never seen that side of them, what upstanding men they are.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Why not?
Because they'd be lying.
Okay, and that, you know, but see, that's what I'm saying. So Lisa, she asked her a question, she gave her an answer, and she's still like kind of, okay, but you wouldn't have. This is not a debate. I'm not going to debate you on my relationship with somebody you don't know. You don't know me like that. You don't know him like that. You don't know us like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Because she was very, very, very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
She would have got told off, though.
Okay.
She should have. After the interview, I hope she let her have it.
Well,
I don't
I'm
think,
sure she...
You know, because it's like this. How many times have... You called a woman or said the B word referring to a woman, and I've told you I don't appreciate that a few times.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that you don't think Lisa Leslie would have said something to Kobe, you know what, Kobe, I don't really feel like that's appropriate or, you know, I'm not really comfortable with how you're referring.
But you had to see it.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You know, Gail doesn't know that though. She doesn't know.
Well,
so for her to come back,
well, we're not going to ever know.
Yeah, we're not.
We're not
going to
ever know.
That's true. But I just feel like it was disrespectful to Kobe. I feel like it was disrespectful to Lisa Leslie. And I, you know, and my thing is, I don't care about either one of them. You know what I mean? I'm not losing sleep over any of them. But I just feel like,
okay.
For real.
Well,
people are upset that, you know, the black thing, but I don't think Gail has ever done anything for black people anyway, so.
I won't argue that either.
Okay, we'll see.
But we're going to go on break on that.
All right.
This is Killer Mike. Don't die.
Most spiritual. No. They got enough sense to know this white folks ain't gonna tolerate us.
Yeah.
And the only reason they do to us what they do, cause you
can tolerate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Real bad guy shit. Living like a villain, never chilling. Heavy influence on your chillin'. Yeah, I woke up this morning to a cop with a gun. He told me that he looking for a nigga on the run. I thought for a second and I screwed my face. And that's some dirty pigs, why the fuck you in my place? That said, she'll know we kill this, is a warning. Then I told her, fuck you, where is the warrant? Then they got the punching and kicking and racing. Then the whole situation with Larry Davis. Thinking about my lady and thinking about my baby. Thinking these motherfucking pigs going crazy. They wanna kill a nigga cause a nigga on this rap shit. Wanna leave me dead on the mattress. Hampton, I'm a public enemy because I cold Hampton. And I don't give a fuck about a party in the Hamptons. And I don't give a fuck about a motherfucking forest list. As far as I'm concerned, that's a motherfucking forest list. Motherfucker, my dad was a cop. You don't think I know a dirty ass cop when I see one shake down, take down, disrespecting the badge ass bitch. Back to the scene, going wild in the backroom. Grabbed the cop's gun, left him licking with a head wound. Second cop shot, but the bullet hit his partner. Shot him in the leg, and he hit a main artery. Reading at a dirty cop's looking at me. Talking about he kill a nigga if I try to pull it. Shit, I'm about to lose it, so he gon' have to prove it. All cause the government hates rap music. I've been labeled outlaw, renegade villain. So was Martin King, so the system had to kill him. A nigga with an attitude, the world gotta feel him. Kids don't live in. If I gotta kill a cop just to make it out of prison, that motherfucker get left dead, no feelings. Yellin' fuck him as I buck a 45 and it's feeling. Trying to knock his brain through the motherfucking ceiling.
Hey, bro, I'm in trouble. Hey, I got some dogs. Just call my old man. It's real deep shit, man. It's fucked up. Shout out, shout out.
When I surface on the streets, I can hear the crowd yelling. You see the neighborhood bitches pointing and telling. I'm yelling like a felon, no aside of Shakur. Before the law, leave me speaking like a bag of manure. Like Jericho, one in the movie Strange Days. They want a nigga dead cause the things that I say. Might make the youth go and pick up in a day. Tell the government, fuck you, no way. Like John Connor, mama, I be running every day. Cause if I get caught, it's my life to terminate. But stick me in a cell of Guantanamo Bay.
Together you got the smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and motherfucking Brown Sugar. That was Killer Mike. Don't die. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right.
Oh, man.
Where do I start? All right, so I'm start off with the hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
Alright, so the hater of the week, they were having a school meeting, right? Saline, Michigan. Talking about racial tensions in the school community. When one of the fathers interrupted another by blurting out, "Why didn't you stay in Mexico?"
That was, I heard that, and it's one of those things where it's not funny, but it's funny because it's unexpected, and the way he said it was unexpected, so I laughed. But I was like, and my favorite part was when the mother or whoever the person was, "You have to leave." I love that. I was like, it got so heated in there. And I'm like, okay, we're talking about a child being bullied.
You should have stayed in Mexico. You wouldn't have got bullied.
You might have joined the drug cartel in Mexico, though, and got killed.
Yeah, you did. Been in that 4,000.
In one of them tunnels, huh?
4,000 foot tunnel.
Exactly.
Yeah. That the walls gonna keep out.
Well, the walls are falling down. So.
Yeah, that's a John Cougar Mellencamp song.
I was just thinking.
That. He just that
when
was 30
the
years
come
ago.
Tumbling down.
Yeah, but we ain't gonna go there. yeah, should have stayed in Mexico. They never say, how come we never stayed in Europe? You should have stayed in Mexico. Mexico is
in
America.
Europe.
Ain't Mexico in America, right?
I mean, like, it was.
Well, no, I'm see, because.
Part of it is.
No,
yeah.
See, because.
What do you mean?
No, because, see, there's quote unquote North America and South
America. South
America,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's like Americans, like, that's just the people in the borders of the United States. But
yeah.
Now that's pretty much everybody on this continent.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Actually, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you're being real. That's not. That's
I know.
Like, well,
I,
then
I,
no.
I know I shouldn't be real.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's why I'm saying no.
I apologize.
Yeah. I mean.
I'm just going to move on from
that.
You know, it's just.
You're talking about like real stuff.
Yeah, real stuff. Like
yeah.
The whole continent.
Borders.
Yeah, borders.
Continents.
I'm tripping.
Right?
Let
I mean,
stop.
Yeah, please move on.
Move on.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, what is that shit that happened again? Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Oh, unfortunately, there's no Puerto Rico. Well, it is Puerto Rico to hope. Because after the disasters, the Puerto Ricans are left with $1.6 billion in unpaid insurance claims.
Mm.
Now, why do I say Groundhog Day for that? You know, I say about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting around and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna watch Malcolm X again.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Malcolm X the movie,
mm-hmm.
and the part that they don't talk about is when the Klan takes his father, who is a UNIA. Organizer, preacher, and they put him on the train tracks and he gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance company doesn't pay because
mm-hmm.
they said he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
He tied himself to the railroad tracks
mm-hmm.
so that he could not move,
mm-hmm.
so that he can die a dignified death for a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Keyword. They did not pay. Settle into 2020. They're not paying the people in Puerto Rico who have insurance. They had insurance. And
was the disaster their fault?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
They did the hurricane dance.
Mm.
You know how they
mm-hmm.
said Native Americans had the rain dance?
Mm-hmm.
They apparently down in Puerto Rico, they do the Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm. They do parties. So
yeah,
they
party.
Have,
so
yeah.
It was one of them parties.
They might have brought in the rumbles and
yes.
the winds.
And you brought that whole hurricane down because it was a super rain dance. And, yeah, got a whole hurricane. So they're not going to pay.
I think they don't have the money to pay. They don't. They couldn't possibly have the money to pay.
Yeah, they do.
Why?
Insurance company. Look, insurance companies, because you're paying insurance. So it's like car insurance, right? You're paying. Every month, you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be like a bank account, right?
It should be, but it's
not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they take money from A to pay B.
Yeah, but they're not paying B.
No, I'm talking about in normal situations.
Okay.
So if it's a normal situation, the money that you pay, we've already spent that and given it to this family because they had a fire
mm-hmm.
or they've had water damage.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but what about the money that family paid?
Yeah, they already gave that money to somebody else who had something
yeah,
else happen.
But yeah.
So I also have to. I have to make money as the owner of the
insurance company.
So.
I know you do.
Yeah. So.
And I'm guessing $1.6 billion.
Yeah, I can't afford
it's
that.
It's a little bit off the top.
Yeah.
So I can't go to the Bahamas. I can't hang out in Jamaica.
No.
Europe. Yeah, I got a 21-day cruise.
Yes. Yeah. Or I'm going to Paris and Italy and the Mediterranean.
Right. I mean,
y'all figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone.
Yeah, because we not going to pay. Because that's what they do.
Yes.
That is what they do.
It's a racket.
Yep, it is one of the biggest rackets that has happened again and again and again and again. Now, I'm going to ask you, because I don't know if you saw it, there's been an uproar behind Jay-Z and Beyonce not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I read it, but I didn't really like trip off of it. Does it matter at this point whether you stand or you're standing?
It does.
Why? Nothing's coming. I've never stood up ever before Colin Kaepernick. I never did.
Yeah,
so I don't see where it's an issue. And I've seen lots of people not stand up of all nationalities for whatever reason. Mine was personal. Theirs might have been just because they didn't want to get up, or they were drunk, or, you know, forget the national anthem altogether because it's just stupid or whatever, you know. So, but I don't see, it's not, I mean, not to say if you don't stand up and you have a personal reason why this is your conviction, I'm convicted because of these reasons, then that's it. And I don't understand what the big deal is now. Because for really, it's not changing anything.
It is.
What is it changing?
Oh, well, I mean, it's whether you're ready to conform or not. It's like wearing a dress.
Okay. All right. I'll give. But what I'm saying is, so now that Jay-Z and Beyonce didn't, then I'm sure it'll go.
Yeah, he says it actually wasn't. Sorry, it really wasn't. It was not premeditated at all. Can tell you anything without speaking to me. I need to tell you if it was me. I would say, yes, that's what I've done. And I think people would know that about me. He said that they were getting in on the musical performance, and they said that he was in artist mode, and he listened to the quality of the sounds of the performance.
Okay. And see, that's the thing. Like, it wasn't even personal. It had nothing to do with his conviction or his allegiance or his alliance to Colin Kaepernick. He just didn't do it.
Yeah, he was listening to the quality of the sound.
And see, and that's the thing. Like, okay, and what now?
That's it.
Exactly. So there's nothing to hear, see. It's nothing here to see, sir. Nothing here to see, ma'am. Keep it moving.
Well, you know.
I mean, there's no story there.
White people take the Pledge of Allegiance, which is idolatry.
Which is weird because I see them sitting down often. When I go to A's games, I see plenty of them sitting down.
That doesn't count, though.
Why, because it's an A's game?
No, because I've stood up before. You need to stand up. I don't really need to stand up because I've been working and my knees hurt.
Exactly. And sometimes after you done walk to get to the A's game, it's like, standing up. I'm resting after, you know.
I don't know. I've never stood either.
Yeah,
I've never understood the whole standing.
Yeah.
And
I don't do
that.
My hand over my heart and all that stuff.
No?
No. Never had. I might have done it. I probably did it in school when I was in elementary school. Yeah,
No, we grew up. We was taken out. We didn't do a Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have done it.
It was beautiful.
But it wasn't after that, they just cut it out of school anyway, so I don't think I did it for too long.
Yep. Which is funny. They cut it out of the schools, but in the greater society, you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. On that note, for motherfucking brown sugar, I am Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. If you're listening and you want to go into the Smooth Drama site, we will be there to talk and chat and chop it up. Other than that, peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama. Smooth.